So a short presentation, what I'm doing. Presentation is called Box Moving Functional Editor in Barcode Solution Program. And it was basically, again, Christian Werner who has asked me to do this presentation. So it is again from him. And it is about my main program I'm selling with my company. And he, in one meeting, he said, well, that's great stuff. You should show that to the public. I said, well, that's normal tickle stuff. We have that quite often. But, well, let's see. So my company is called Elmicron, and we are in barcoding. ISO standard a lot. Yeah, I'm consultant for IBM, the DoD, the NATO, many people who have barcode issues, European community a lot, and computer nerds sitting down. And I'm not the most skillful programmer, I have to admit. And so I try to compensate that by speaking more. Yeah. Okay. So the application is called ScanLink, and it is a barcode verification software. So mainly what it does, you scan, you have the program, and then you put the data somewhere, mostly by keyboard emulation or to put a database file, JSON, web service. Platform is Windows, Android, and way rarely Linux 32-bit on thin clients. So when starting, I was a Linux fan, and I was with SUSE since 89, somewhere like that. But reality caught me that I was never able to sell anything on Linux, so it was way Windows-centered. I lose tickle start kits from Ashok with some self-written library, so that's what it's. I have a resizable interface, so anything is scalable, which is I have shown in 2019, especially for the Android platform at this time. And I often use button keyboards for industrial touchscreens, so you have devices and you push the buttons as a keyboard. So it looks on Android, you see it on the right. So that's Aave dark theme, so all is nicely dark. So that's also someone I miss a lot. Yeah. Okay. So about the editor. So it's box moving configuration editor. So you can move those boxes. You can take them from the key, from the toolbox, move it down here and create your program. So you can say, okay, we have a scan. We go somewhere. We take some variables. We look into the database. And then we decide what to do at the end. So that's what it's doing. We have those branch arrows. So I have here columns and you have arrows. So you can have branches in. I have a page manager widget control. So you can change those widgets. I will show it in a second in reality. So how it is on the practical side. I use a drag and drop from BWidget, so basically I've taken the code from BWidget and copied it. So it would be great to have something like that native in the core, in TK core it is, and all those steps are basically menu buttons, and if you press on them with the right key, you get a menu what to do with it. So I can shortly show the application itself. So here it is. And so scalable, so on Android you could use your fingers, but here you can just say, okay, larger. And to see the editor, you go in configuration mode. So now down there's a tab, added process editor, and here you have it. So on the left side there are those process chains will do something, and you can take a step from the right side. For example, if you have a database event and you push it here, and then you have the step active. Yeah, and you can take another one. So read a JSON file if you have something and put it here. And so you can move it around and create your solution by moving one functional block after the other. Okay. So next page, how is it done from the program? So that's called a process chain, and each step is a namespace, and each namespace is a step type, and there may be multiple, I call it classes. I don't use object-oriented programming. It's too complicated for me, so I said I'm a low-level programmer. So I just use something like standard C, no plus plus, and those stuff style programming. And what happens? So I have a loop, and I first decide, okay, what's the next step? Was there a branch or not? If not, go to the next step. And then down here, it is unfortunately in the bluer, I call the function which is implemented in a namespace and does something. And there's basically a dict ddata which is passed from step to step. And you, yeah, so that's basically what's happening, how it works. So it's relatively simple and easy to implement in Tickle. So can always look here for last fields. Oh, there are no last fields, I'm sorry. Perhaps over here. So you can always look to that dict. We will see later. I have to execute it one time, then we will have one. Okay, so how it works internally. What are the challenges? So as a low-level programmer, I used a lot of vWait. So if there's a request to the user, something to do, I just jump in vWait and my process chain stops. But what happens if there are multiple scanners in and there are multiple people scanning in? The process model of Tickle is great. You don't have to care so much about threads, so in your head it keeps easy. But vWait is way unpleasant if you have one, for example, thing which happening, you have an HTTP request which does a vWait, so it waits for something, and then you have a second scan which jumps in here and it makes a big calculation, so it takes 2 minutes. And this will cause that this one will be delayed until that moment. Yeah, because it is blocked. And the vWait nest, even if down here is time, so here is also a vWait, so the chain is again opened, that is not executed here. So I was restructuring it, and I was looking about coroutines, which is the right answer for that problem. Coroutines are just great, but well, it's for me way complicated. So what I did is, if I have big wait points, I stop the chain and restart it. So I get out of the loop I've just shown and restart the loop when required. Yeah, but just for you to remember, if you ever use vWait, it is always a problem. Xaba knows that also. Xaba has written scrollutil, and I've asked him, well, you have put a vWait in here for, yeah, to make the program easier, and say, please use after, because otherwise there might be another step jump in and the interface will not resize or do something like that. So vWait is always a problem. Okay, so that was my presentation of the application, and as I said, only 15 minutes. So I want to say what I'm doing in the Tickle community. I care about BewitchGet. I don't understand some high-level work by Eric Boudalier. I wanted to visit him. He's living in Rennes next week, but unfortunately he's on holiday. I care about Tickle WS. I got it from Gerald Leisner. And also inside is way complicated, but I understand it a bit more. At least as a maintainer, if there are any tickets, I try to care and to release. I care about MSG Cat, which is an easy piece of software, so I understand it, excluding the OO part, so there are now parts in I'm quite uncomfortable with, but Donald Fellows has changed OO to make MSG Cat for it possible. I was working on the Tickle Windows driver together with Reinhard Max, so we have met in Nuremberg and discussed on this point, I think, 7 years ago. Also, Andreas, at this time in Vancouver, he gave some input, what does not work on Windows, and we have managed to get away all bugs we had at this time. So that was, I think, a great win for Tickle. I cared about Rivet. I care about TKSVG, what I got from Christian Golwitzer. So, and normally about this way old compiler, I compile with it and report how it works for Tickle 6. We will give up this compiler with the next version. Tickle 7 and Tickle 9 will not use it anymore. What is a good message, but also it is a community decision. What do we do? What compiler generation will we support? I'm in other open source projects like Synth Barcode, and I care about the Tickle interface. And oh, this two times. Okay. Yeah, good. Okay, so that are my activities. And last slide, a wish list. Yeah, get Tickle 9 out of the door. Blockers are seen, the encoding. How to motivate Donald to make a release. And thank you all, guys. You all guys rock each day. Thank you. And if I may just get a second, I want to show my latest fun. So, of course, you all don't like Windows. It is like speaking about alcohol-free beer. Nobody likes alcohol-free beer, but at the end, it's something way good. So, this is a center for disabled people in Windows. And down here, you can activate ScanLink. So, I activate it, say OK. And now, I have to take care that it doesn't start two times. And now I go to the screen lock screen. So here's my locked screen, and I press a key. And you wait a second, and you have seen the ScanLink was started. So now the program, I can switch it, is running in the login screen. And I can log in by barcode. Scanner doesn't work, not a good day. Oh, I've put it in the network plug. That's way good for action. Good morning. So, it did not work. It is because of a certain reason, but yeah, the scanner is unconfigured. Things happen. But I wanted to show you, perhaps you have followed it a bit on the list, so Ashok helped a lot. It's practically impossible to do anything into this input field, but we managed it with Tickle. Thank you for your attention. Okay, are there any questions? We need the mic. Where is it? Raising hand? It was Marcus.
Who are the users of your software? You yourself or any other people?
Yes, so the software is sold worldwide. And it has two functionalities, compliance testing. I do a lot on RFID and the integration part. And for example, one big user is Zeiss SMT, where they're using it in production. You know the company who has 800 million euro revenue each year, the guys which are doing all those great stuff. And well, they're quite in my neck to say, well, is your stuff safe and so on? And yeah, well, I have around, I would say, 2,000 licenses out of the software, yeah, worldwide. Except US, we don't have an insurance to sell in the US, So Guatemala, US is always a problem. And in Germany, you need an insurance if you sell software, and for normally it's 2,000 euros per year worldwide, except US. If you want to sell in the US, it is 20 to 200,000 euros per year, because you have a big risk of penalties. Okay, Markus?
Okay, first of all, is the code for the Scanlink integration, is it open source or is it a trade secret?
No, it is closed. The code is closed source, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
How the branches work? Do they work like jump instructions in machine
code? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you can tell it where to jump.
Well,
if it's not jumping, it just goes.
Yeah. Well, I tried. It was. I'm not sure if you can read it, but the branch part is up there. So if a step has a branch property, which is branch in module opt. So the step may have the branch property. And if in the data exists an entry branch do, so the communication, the branch step has ended, and he says he leaves some branch do in the data. And if he does so, he says, okay, branch. And then the arrow is searched, so that's also a configuration part, so it's in the config array. In the config of that current step, what is the target? And then we get down here, so we look up the target, and the next step, the branch step, will be executed. And if it doesn't branch, you just go to the next step. So it is the else, and just will be plus one. So it's the next step. That's way simple, I think.
Very simple system. Very intuitive somehow too.
I think. Yeah. Well, users. I have lots of hospitals which use that. So hospitals have big barcode integration problems, and the hospital guys, they love that because they have around 70, 80 legacy systems, and they have to extend them by barcode, and yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay, great. Next one.